Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am here in studio, your host, Colt Molesky, and on the line, the notoriously proficient and efficient broadcaster from Northwestern, Brendan Scarborough. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Colton. How are you?
I'm doing good. We have some tough issues to mull over at the back half of this podcast, but first I wanted to get to some Timberwolves news. First of all, Shabazz Muhammad has been signed to the veterans minimum, $1.6 million going to Shabazz Muhammad. The prodigal son returns to Minneapolis, and he will be a solid addition for the bench, at least I believe so, sliding right in there with Taj Gibson, Jamal Crawford, and Tyus Jones. He had a 9-point average per game last season, along with averaging 2 rebounds a game last season. But last year, the last 3 months of the season, you saw him average about 11 to 12 points, so I thought there was an uptick in his scoring production last year. What do you think of Shabazz coming to Minneapolis? Do you think it's a good sign? Do you think it is just one that they're kind of, we might as well because he's going to go on the veterans minimum? Do you think it helps the bench? Do you think it hurts it? What do you think, Brennan?
I think it's good. When you have a team like the Timberwolves that are so stacked up front, it's really nice to have a player on the bench like Shabazz Muhammad who you can, as you said, rely on for points, rebounds. He doesn't need to score 20 a night, which he's not going to do. But a 10-point average, that's not bad coming off the bench. And that's all you really need him to do. Keep that tempo up while the starters are resting so that when they come back in, you're not looking at a 10 to more deficit, you know, when the starters come back. So I think it's a great addition, especially on the veteran minimum. Good pickup by the Wolves.
Yeah, I think really when you're a team that really truly believes you can compete at a playoff level, I think anytime you add a piece to the bench, even if it's only 10 points every time he's hitting the floor and he's only playing for about probably 18 to 19, he averaged just over 19 minutes last year. So if it's in that range, but he's offering 10 points and a few rebounds, I think that's a solid pickup. I think Tyus Jones is going to be good. I think Jamal Crawford is going to be a solid shooter. Taj Gibson is going to be a good guy, down low to rebound for that second unit. So I think it just is another piece that is going to strengthen that second unit, because really the goal is you want a bunch of guys who aren't going to blow a lead for your starting five when those guys are getting rest in that third quarter, in that fourth quarter, if you're starting out that fourth quarter with some guys on the bench to start out the fourth quarter. Really don't want to see any leads given up in that time frame. And I think that second unit that they have right now is one of those that can do that for them. And now moving on to, I think, probably one of the more humorous stories over the last couple of weeks. Carmelo Anthony, he's getting upset. I don't know, have you seen this, Brandon, how upset he is about getting ranked underneath Lonzo Ball on ESPN's top 100 basketball players? Have you seen how mad he is about this?
Yeah, and as you were saying before, it is pretty humorous. But at the same time, it's ESPN being ESPN. They got to sell a story. And Lonzo Ball, after a great summer league, he's supposed to be one of the better players in the league at such a young age. And Carmelo, can we say he had a lackluster performance last season? I feel like that's a fitting word. I mean, I would say it's kind of hard because it is Carmelo, and we know what he can do. Singing back to the earlier years with the New York Knicks when he's dropping 60 points in a game, but it's, as you said, it's really humorous that players are getting upset over just such, it's a ranking. It means nothing, but it's absolutely humorous.
I also love that he's now wearing the famous nobodies t-shirts that he's made all over the place and on Instagram and Twitter. I think it is interesting that you have two players here, right? One, Carmelo Anthony, where at least last season it was regarded where your offense kind of stops when you pass him the ball. He's going to take it to isolation basketball. And then you have Lonzo Ball, and he's the distributor, the insane passes. He's going to get it to all the guys and help make them better because he's getting them the perfect shot because he's drawing the defense. So really you see not only do analysts and NBA fans, they tend to be drawn towards that guy that's going to make the team better as opposed to the isolation spot up, I'm going to create my own shot basketball player that Carmelo Anthony is. But it's also interesting that basketball in general has soured on Melo so much over the last couple of seasons. I mean, he hasn't been the Nuggets Carmelo Anthony, but he's not necessarily a terrible player. He's still a solid scorer. He's still going to put up 20-some points a night. I mean, are we mellowing on Melo too fast?
I would say, and this is, as you were saying, it's a new era of basketball. We're moving on. And we talked about this a few weeks ago on the podcast when you said point guards need to be able to do more. And Lonzo Ball is really bringing that. He's bringing, as you said, he's making everyone around him better while still putting up amazing plays. And Melo, it's not that it gets old. It's just that we've seen a lot of teams that he had last year with the starting lineup he had. People were like, wow, are they going to be contenders again? And the team kind of soured over time. So I would say maybe not. Melo's style of basketball is starting to grow old. And I think people are just ready to move on.
Do you blame Phil Jackson for some of this because he had Carmelo Anthony in the triangle offense, and that definitely, I don't know how much it was hurting him, but it definitely wasn't helping him as a player kind of take Porzingis and young guys under his wing? That offense was really designed for one player to be really good at scoring the basketball and the other players to kind of help him along. Do you think Phil Jackson is a little bit to blame with the souring on Melo?
I would say a little bit. Phil Jackson is minorly at fault, but I would not say that he is the main cause. Sure, you can put a tad bit of the blame on Phil Jackson for using a system that didn't really work with the players that he had, but it's not all his fault. It is. I wouldn't say that.
Do you think that the NBA would be a better place if they let Hoodie Melo play basketball as opposed to just regular Melo?
I think that if I am one of the bigger companies, Adidas, Nike, I start to make uniforms with the hoodie on it, especially for the New York Knicks. Call it the Carmelo Anthony edition.
I would definitely buy that jersey. 100% I would buy that jersey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That would, the sales would go through the roof. You heard it here first, folks.
Oh, we definitely should get some of that contract if Nike starts making jerseys with hoodies on them. I think Hoodie Melo is just kind of a basketball assassin too. He's a little scary to go against if you're a basketball player. I don't know about how basketball players feel about regular Melo, but I know that not many players want to guard Hoodie Melo for sure.
I would also go out and say, well, this is kind of a question for you. Would you think with all the pickup games that have been happening there and all the kind of media hype that it's been getting, do you think LA Fitness is giving any money to Melo? All of those are getting posted and stuff, and they're all at LA Fitness. Like, really, like, random question, but what do you think?
I think maybe they're not making money, or he's not making money off LA Fitness, just because I think the real key factor of these games is they want to make them low profile, and I know they're putting them up on the internet and stuff, but they don't really want a ton of people to know exactly where they are. You know, they want it to be kind of more of a private thing. And I think if they're starting to make money off of it, it becomes more advertised, just because if LA Fitness is paying them to do this, then they're going to want to pay for them to be watched on a personal scale. So they're going to want people to come and watch them live as opposed to just videos on the internet. But that would be a pretty interesting idea if you're a gym and you said, hey, Jimmy Butler, come in with Towns and just do one-on-one basketball, and we'll pay you X amount of dollars to let 40 people watch you play basketball, because people would definitely pay to watch them play one-on-one.
If I heard that was happening in my area, I would absolutely go and watch. Where are you ever going to see that again?
You're not.
Other than on an NBA basketball court.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that's so much like the Mayweather-McGregor fight, where it's every kind of bar argument, where it's like, oh, well, if KD and LeBron were going one-on-one, then LeBron would definitely kill him. Well, that'd be an awesome to actually see that matchup live. Curry, if you have Curry versus Thompson in a one-on-one, that would be such a cool thing to watch live, because that's kind of every like conversation you're having with your buddies on which player is the better player just on a one-on-one scenario. That'd be cool to see live, and I think they would definitely be able to make money off of it.
So yeah, absolutely.
I did want to go to a more serious topic, but first of all, I wanted to talk about the best thing, the best part of having a smartphone, SeatGeek, because buying and selling tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated. It can be, Brennan. But there's a better way, a simpler way, with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to buy tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. Here's some of the perks. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. And Brandon, we're college students. We don't have a big budget, do we? We are about as broke as they come.
Not at all. And apps like SeatGeek are absolutely imperative for the college student to get out and see some awesome games. So
absolutely,
talk to them.
Couldn't agree more with you there. And because it's fully guaranteed, you can have confidence when you're shopping on SeatGeek for your tickets for that sporting event or concert. And for my listeners, if you go on and use the code LOMBA at checkout, LOMBA, you get $20 off your first purchase. So for all of our listeners, Brennan, they get that bonus. We can't use it, unfortunately. This is probably the worst part of being on the show, is we can't use it. But our listeners can, and they definitely should go out and use SeatGeek. So now on to a very serious topic. The Lakers have announced that they're going to hang up both of Kobe Bryant jerseys, the number 24 and the number 8. And I have some very negative feelings about this, but I want to get your fresh take, just first impressions. Two jerseys are getting hung up for the Lakers, Kobe Bryant. What are your thoughts?
First of all, When looking at the stats side by side, the number 24 and the number 8, it's amazing how close they are. Colton, I'm guessing that you've seen these stats, and isn't it amazing how, like, when with the points scored and all of that, they're just so close to each other. You know, even NBA titles, it's 3 with 1, 2 with the other. I'm just like amazed on how close they are. But my initial thought is, And this is because I am younger. I would say I know Kobe is number 24, not so much as number 8. And even though number 8 has done great things, I think 24, when it comes to the Kobe legacy, 24 is what Kobe is known by, and that is what Kobe should be known by. So I agree with you. I don't think number 8 should be retired. So.
No, and you're absolutely right about the stats. Just as far as players who really are able to carry on greatness throughout the entirety of a career without really falling off, I think they're very comparable to LeBron's stats, right? Where LeBron really, he hasn't had a shaky season ever. And Kobe, you're absolutely right. Line out those stats. They're pretty neck and neck there for both jerseys, even though with number 24, he's obviously involves the end of his career. So that's very impressive. As far as the jerseys themselves, let's be honest. 24 we associate with championships, number 8 we associate with the rape allegations. Whether that's fair, whether that is the way it should be, that's the association. And it's such a strong association that he felt the need to rebrand and take on a new number because of that. And so I wanted to see if it was just me or if this is the way a lot of people are feeling. So all week I've been talking to particularly women who watch basketball and watch the NBA, and the reaction to this from the women I talked to was, it feels like it's a little bit of a slap in the face. Like, as long as you're a good enough basketball player, we'll retire your jersey and hang up this symbol of these allegations. Because let's be honest, the number 8, those are heavily tied into that number in that jersey, those rape allegations. And it just feels super tone deaf by the Lakers to their women fan base. They're all the women that watch the Lakers religiously and watch basketball. It just feels like they don't care about that side of their fan base. And I think with all the stuff that's going on with all the sports, not just with the NFL, with the NHL, with the NBA, with all the domestic violence stuff going on around sports, it seems really tone deaf, and it seems like a slip up on the Lakers' part. What is your take on that, just hearing that women are responding to this for the most part pretty negatively?
And it totally makes sense. We both listened to a lot of stand up, and I think back to the Daniel Tosh stand up where he jokingly says, you know, oh, number 8 was the rapist, but number 24 just wins us a pair of championships and we forget what the other guy did. And yeah, that's kind of how it is. It shows, hey, you know what? He's a first team all NBA player. He gets obviously, you know, 2 championships, scores 16,000 points. Yeah, we forget what you did. And I would feel the same way too. Yeah. And the reason why, as you said before, he changed his number is to combat these allegations. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that this is how they feel about this incident. It totally makes sense.
Well, and too, you and I were obviously not professional athletes, but we've played college football. You're still playing college football. And it varies from player to player, but for the most part, there's a lot of attachment you get to that number. You kind of own it as your own, as part of you, when you're wearing a number every single time you're suiting up for a game. And so to have a situation where Kobe not only has this number on a pro team, but he's very successful with this number. You talked about the stats and the championships that he had with the number 8. And then this situation arises, and it's such... there's so much negativity, and there's such a media storm around the rape allegations that he felt the only way for him to move on with his career was to rebrand his image to take on the number 24. Now, on the day that you're supposed to be honoring what he did for the Lakers organization, you're going to be bringing out this jersey, the number 8 jersey, and all that is going to come back right fresh into the limelight. It just seems like a really weird move for the Lakers. I mean, couldn't they just tuck away the number 8 jersey? It's not like another player has to wear it if the Lakers don't retire the jersey, right? They can just tuck that away and kind of try and keep that as a forgotten part of Laker history, as opposed to putting it up in a prominent spot where they're going to play basketball.
And I would also say, maybe not, as you were saying, put it up in a, not put it up in a prominent spot, but say that we are retiring it. We won't hang it because of these reasons. And like, I think Magic Johnson should come out and say, hey, we don't condone it, anything of what happened. That's not what we're celebrating here. The purpose of this is to retire an amazing player. And as you said before, don't bring it into the limelight. Because, for example, my little brother loves basketball. He has never known Kobe Bryant to be number 8. But when he goes, oh, Kobe Bryant was number 8, why did he change his number? And then those things come right back. That's why you have to say those things. So maybe just tuck it away, or just be like, it will be retired, but it will not be displayed as a part of the festivities. You know, so I totally agree with you in that aspect.
Because they're not addressing that side of it either. They're not only are they retiring both jerseys, but they're not addressing that side of it either. Does it feel more like a tone deaf and blatant move by the Lakers to just say, yeah, we're just going to retire it because Kobe wore it, we're just going to retire it, and that's the end of that? There's no real discussion about the fact that they're retiring this jersey with all that negative connotation that goes along with it. Isn't it weird that they haven't addressed it?
It's a little weird, but it's understandable. As you were saying before, you don't want to bring it to the limelight. They're not here to do that. They're here to retire the number of a great player. And sometimes the best way to not bring up a discussion is not talk about, you know what I mean? Just leave the elephant in the room people are going to wonder, what, like, as I said before, the younger people are going to be like, oh, why did Kobe change his number? Just be like, well, I don't know. It happens. LeBron did it. Kobe can do it too. You know? So just, I think that's what they're going for. Just, hey, don't talk about it. Let's not have the PR scandal that we know is going to come about. Let's just sweep it under the rug type deal.
And then probably the last thing I was thinking of when kind of unpacking this discussion was, what do you think Kobe's thoughts on this are? What do you think his reaction to it is, that, oh, we're gonna bring this out when you're supposed to be honoring me as a Laker? We're gonna bring this up. Do you think it's weird that for him that they're bringing up the number 8 jersey again, or do you think he's just glad that they're retiring his jerseys, because that is a huge honor for a player to have the jerseys retired? But do you think that he's like, come on guys, why do we have to bring up the 8 jersey again?
Kobe Bryant was once quoted in saying, friends don't last, championships last forever. I don't think Kobe gives a rat's tail about this being brought up again. I think Kobe Bryant is just going to be like, you know what? This is putting a stamp in greatness. I am having my jersey retired by one of the best organizations in the world, one of the most successful organizations in the world, and I'm one of the reasons why it is so great. I think he'll talk about it, and you know, professional sports, well, you know, there was allegations, nothing was proved, all that. I don't think he really cares so much about the allegations part. I think he's just seeing this as, you know, I'm officially done, and he's just moving on with his retirement, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. I think he really only cared about the championships for a long, long time. Well, I think that wraps up that issue pretty nicely. Do you have anything you want to add about any NBA news or anything like that, Brennan? Anything you want to plug?
No, nothing to add. Just very exciting. Excited for the upcoming season. I'm already looking for tickets right now. So I'm very pumped to see what the Timberwolves do this year, and I know you are too.
Absolutely. And you have the SeatGeek app to go to those games at a very affordable price.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks again for hopping on, Brandon. Really appreciate you coming on the show. And thank you to all the listeners. I'm your host, Colt Molesky, and this has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.